Well, it's good to be able to come and share with you today. I'm not going to tell you you're all greedy, but that's the subject I've been given, so we're going to have a look at it. What I thought it might be helpful to do, just to begin with, is to have a quick review of where we've come from in this series of the seven deadly sins. It's been quite funny speaking to friends when they've been saying, "What are you doing in church at the moment?" And I've been saying, "Oh, we're studying the seven deadly sins." Oh, and their response is, "Whoopee, church, nice beginning to the year. Must be a fun place to be." So we've looked at pride, envy, and last week we were thinking about anger. And this week we're going to think about the one second from the top, which is greed. And I think we ought to thank Stuart for helping us look at some of these issues. After Christmas and New Year, folks went to detox. Well, actually, this is what looking at these are kind of about. And as we look at them, it's not a case of which one's my big problem, because they're all a problem for all of us, all of the time. And so I don't want you to look through the list and go, "Tick, oh, that's my one." Well, actually, they're all issues that we have to go with all of the time. For example, which of us has never been proud or greedy or envious or angry or lustful or been a glutton or lazy? That's hit all of us at some time, and we need just to reflect on these issues. I have a friend who's an internal auditor, and I think that's what this is about. It's kind of just saying, okay, let's stop for a minute and say who I am and what is it that motivates my life. And I would just like to say thanks to everybody, because I sensed last week, after the discussion about anger, there were lots of really good, authentic discussions going on in church. Certainly at lunchtime, we had a good discussion at our lunch table. And then I was travelling with Laura in the week over to Kent, and we had a good discussion, at least I thought it was a good discussion, on the whole subject of anger. And before we come to the issue of greed, there were one or two things that kind of hit me after I had thought about anger. Anger in the past and still is a wee bit of an issue for me. Let me just give a personal testimony. I was working with a close friend who was a PA, and there were times when I found myself getting really angry because she seemed to be slow or dithering about or whatever. And it was a bit of an issue. And I went on a training course over 4 weeks to Germany every 6 months, a week every 6 months. And in the first time there, I kind of realised that there was an issue there that I had to deal with. And I actually went to see somebody about it. And on the third visit to this woman, I went in, and I was quite chirpy when I was in good form. And I sat down, and after about 10 minutes, she asked me a question. And I responded like this: "I sometimes feel like a wee boy." And then she asked, "What is the wee boy seeing, or what is the wee boy saying?" And just like that, there were two pictures came into my mind from probably 30 years before. I never thought about them before, but as clear as a bell, there was a picture of me trying to get my dad's attention when he was speaking on a pitch and putt course to one of his mates. I was trying to get into the conversation and get my dad's attention, and I was ignored. And the other picture that came was he was going out. He was a very good Christian. He was going out to a church service, and I was about 7, and I really wanted to go. And I said, "Dad, can I come with you?" And he kind of did that, and he said, "Son, you can come when you're bigger. I'm too busy just now." And I don't know where these pictures came from, but I think they were related to the issue of anger, of rejection, of not being heard. And as we go through this subject, Graham was kind of saying, come to the Lord Jesus and bring these issues to him. And I think there are times when we bring issues to the Lord, and through prayer ministry, they can be touched and healed. But I also think there are issues, perhaps for many of us, that are rooted in our past that we need some help to work through. And I also think some of these issues, like anger, are our responsibility as Christian people, so that with discipline, with consistency, we need to work them through on a daily life. There are choices to be made on a regular basis. So I don't see these issues just as a kind of a one solution issue. I think there's sometimes issues that we need special help with over a longer period of time. Sometimes you can be prayed for and God can do something miraculous at a time. But I also think there are daily Christian responsibilities and disciplines that we have. When we are faced with choices, then we need to make the correct choice. Hebrews 12:1 says, "Therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us throw everything that hinders us and the sin that entangles us, and let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us." So as we go through these different issues like pride and greed and envy and anger, let's give each other space and let's journey together and let's recognise that some of these might be things that we need to deal with, and let's be serious at the beginning of this year and ask the Lord to be with us as we go through some of the challenges of what it means just to be a Christian. As you are a Christian, it's almost like the big lights turned on and you see things that perhaps you never saw before. And that's a good thing. And I think the Lord can really touch us in that. So I wanted just to kind of reflect some of my own thoughts during the past week on anger as I've been thinking about that. This morning, however, we have to come to the issue of greed. Often the issue of greed is illustrated by money. And there are some passages in the Bible, I think, that speak about the issue of greed. And yet greed is more than just finance and wealth and all of that. But two or three of these verses kind of highlight that. People who want to get rich fall into temptation. It doesn't say people who are rich fall into temptation, but people who want to get rich, that pursuit of riches, fall into many and foolish and harmful desires and plunge men into ruin and destruction. For the love of money is the root of all kinds of evil. And the second verse in Luke 12, watch out, be on your guard against all kinds of greed. So greed comes in different forms. You know, the greed for status, for pleasure, for wealth, for position, all sorts of things, for influence. And then the lovely statement, a man's life doesn't consist of the abundance of what he has, his possessions. How hard it is for the rich to enter the kingdom of God. And when I was preparing, somebody said, and there was a twinkle in Jesus' eye when he said, but what is impossible with man is possible with God. So as I talk this morning, these will be some of the passages that probably I'll try and refer to. So let's begin. I'm going to think about greed. What is it? Greed, what are its results? And how can we survive greed? Dante said it's the excessive love of money and power. Somebody else said it's the desire to obtain more money or material possessions than we actually need. And then somebody went further and said, greed is the desire for wealth or gain, ignoring the realm of the spiritual. For me, greed is simply wanting. Not just wanting, but wanting more and more and more. And I think the whole idea of desire is at the root and behind the whole concept of greed. As I've said, it's not just a money thing, because we can be greedy for popularity, for power, for influence, for wealth, for status. And as we've read this morning, Jesus warns, be on your guard against all kinds of greed. I don't think it's related to how much you have. All of us, no matter what our tax bracket is, even students, can suffer from greed. And it may even be that some of the greediest people are those who have very little and spend all their time working and scheming as to how, if they got more, that would solve their problems. I think sometimes greed's not as obvious as we might think. My picture of greed is somebody stuffing themselves with big cream buns. But actually, thriftiness and the motivation behind being thrifty, which is sometimes seen as a virtue, can actually be greed. The word mine, M-I-N-E, it's mine, you're not getting it, really encapsulates for me the whole issue of greed. I will never forget our girls when they wouldn't share things, grabbing something and saying, it's mine. You didn't tell me this happened. you know, holding on to it and saying, it's mine. So greed is not just about grabbing. Greed is about holding. Scrooge was a lonely old miser. I sometimes get challenged about greed in terms of my time. All day, every day, I'm with people and trying to please people and work with people. And for me to have a break at the weekend is not to be with people. And yet sometimes I think as a couple we should be offering more hospitality to church friends. And we don't do that as often as we should. And I get challenged about my greediness about my own time. So greed can be holding on to things. It's not as easy as we think also, because the line between what we want and what we need is actually quite a thin line. And I really want to say that Christians ought to be thinking people. We need constantly to be reflecting on issues like this. God gave us all things to enjoy, but where is the boundary? When do you step over that boundary into being greedy? And the question that I put up there, when does ambition, entrepreneurship, profit making become greed? Maybe that's not even a valid question, I don't know, but it kind of seems to me that within our society today, we can easily slip from using the gifts that God has given us into this whole area of greed. For me, there's something about dissatisfaction as well as desire when we think about greed. Not happy with what we've got. There's almost a restlessness in ourselves and a relentless desire for more things. And then when we begin to think about greed in our culture, that isn't very easy either. I really believe that advertising, and I hope there's nobody involved in advertising here, feeds on this relentless desire that we have to have our needs met, or what we perceive to be our needs. Would you agree that our present culture encourages us not only to want more, but to want better and to want it faster? 21st century Britain has moved beyond the satisfaction of basic human needs to the gratification of our wants and desires, and the expectation that it's a right to have those wants satisfied. How about the L'Oreal advert, "You're worth it"? That's kind of saying it's your right to have it, right? So we've gone from need to want and a right to have. And actually, I really think the genius of advertising is to move us from what is desire to make it a need. The advertising of products, isn't so much that needs can be met, but actually it's creating a need. It's almost like the news. Journalists no longer and newspaper editors no longer report news, they create news. Sven Göran Eriksson and the fake shake and all that kind of stuff. They're actually creating news. And advertising, for me, in some senses, manufactures desire and say, this is what you need, when actually, perhaps that's not the case. There's a guy called Mark Buchanan who was writing about greed, and he calls it the cult of the next thing. We sign up to the cult of the next thing by default, not by choosing the cult, but by failing to resist it. I think that's quite perceptive. And the cult of the next thing has sacred words as well. Words like more, you deserve it, new, faster, cleaner, brighter. And so he comments on greed as the cult of the new thing. But what does greed do? What are its effects? And I think we would be aware of some of these, but I'd just like to highlight them for us. The effects of greed. Greed results in corruption. And there's dozens of examples we could think about that, of people who have led nations, who have siphoned off the wealth of the nation and put it into some Swiss bank account. Or when people are suffering, they're living in massive palaces. I may have told you this story before, but there was an OMF missionary who was very gifted in music and was starting a national orchestra in Cambodia. And Naomi had got the principal of the the university there to agree to her beginning to form this national orchestra. And she knew one of the conductors of the Welsh National Orchestra, and he had agreed to come and help in the formation of this Cambodian orchestra and come for 10 days. But the whole project failed because the principal of the university in Phnom Penh and the vice principal were in different political parties. And it would have been a real coup or a major status thing, depending on who was the sponsor of this Welsh National Orchestra conductor. And they couldn't agree. And the whole project collapsed. And so I think it's very obvious that greed results in corruption. Pushing the boundaries just to line our own pockets to get what we want. Greed also results in exploitation, and that's why we think about fair trade. Greedy individuals are harmful to society as their motives often appear to disregard the welfare of others. If one person is to increase in wealth, it's possible and probable that somebody else's is decreasing. I sometimes get a wee bit wound up about Tesco's in White Ladies Road. Wonder how many of us shop there. Wonder if there was a private company who's been put out of business because of Tesco's. Lots and lots of issues that I'm sure you're aware of that you can reflect on for yourself. Greed also, I think, results in introversion. Greed came to me as an issue probably about 6 or 7 years ago, and it was as a result of Tiger Woods. Tiger Woods was refusing to play for the United States of America Ryder Cup team because they weren't paying him enough. And at that time, his own personal fortune was about £18 million. That really winds me up. And even, I mean, I'm not anti-American at all, but even the US protectionism, or the protection, the way that they protect their own businesses and don't buy into the Kyoto Agreement, is that about greed? Don't know. Something we can think about. So greed results in corruption, exploitation, introversion, and it actually deceives us. It deceives us because it motivates us to try and earn more, saying that we need more, when actually we may not. I said to somebody recently, have you been to the sales? And their response was, no, I haven't, because I don't need anything. And I thought, good on you. Good on you. You're not just caught up in this great big rush to buy. One reason that Jesus warns us to avoid greed is because that he knows that wanting material things is an endless search that can never ever satisfy. Somebody has said, if you want to make a person happy, don't add to his possessions, but take away from his desires. I think that's a good one. Don't add to his possessions, but take away from his desires. Greed also messes up our priorities. This is what Jesus is warning about when he says, watch out, be on your guard against all kinds of greed. For a man's life doesn't consist in the abundance of what he has. And it messes up our priorities because important things become secondary. I suppose if you were asked to guess what a particular passage in the Bible referred to greed, what that would be, probably some of us at least would say the story of the rich young ruler who built bigger barns, or the other ruler who wasn't willing to follow Jesus because he had many riches. Jesus said, go sell all that you have and give to the poor. He was sad because he had great wealth. His true God was wealth. His greed-inspired love of things kept him from following Jesus. So when you think of it, he didn't possess things, they actually possessed him, and they were his idol. Greed becomes a false god, a matter of misdirected worship. Where your money is, there will your heart also be. As consumers, we assume that we are merely acquiring things But in a funny way, our articles are busy acquiring us. Again, we need to be thinking Christians. And finally, in this whole idea of what are the effects of greed, greed pushes our attitudes and behaviour. And there are two examples of that in the Bible. One is King Ahab. He saw a guy's vineyard, or he saw a piece of land, the land of Naboth next door. He offered to buy it, but Naboth said, "No, I don't want to do that because this has been an inheritance in our family for years and years, so I want to keep it." But Ahab's wife Jezebel had Naboth falsely accused and put to death. And so the king's greed gave birth to lying, murder and theft. Then in the New Testament, I think it's Acts 5, there's a couple, Ananias and Sapphira. There were many poor people in the church, and those who had wealth were selling pieces of land and giving what they had to the poor Christians. And Ananias and Sapphira, they had agreed for popularity. They wanted to be in on the action and get some of the praise. And so what they did was they sold a bit of land, and they said they had given all the money to the Lord by giving it to people, but actually they had held back some of it for themselves. And there was two aspects of greed there. One, greed for popularity, and also greed, and that led to deception and lies. And somebody has said that greed turns love into lust, leisure into sloth, hunger into gluttony, honour into pride, and admiration into envy. So, just very quickly, some of the results of greed, which at first may not appear to be such a big issue, but actually underneath some of the issues relating to greed, there are some serious things for us to consider. So how do we survive greed? We've identified what it is, and we've thought about some of the things that it does, but how do we survive it? Well, I think, first of all, we need to recognise that it is an issue. You may not be a madly greedy person, but I wonder how much we're colluding with society and culture by personally just being compliant. Being compliant with the same values that everybody else has. Rather than challenging culture and challenging ourselves with the kingdom values that we have. There was a survey done which showed that 4/5 of people who responded wished they had a lot more money, and yet 86% said that greed was a bad thing. And so just kind of a challenge. You know, we want more, but we say greed's bad. So we need to recognise it. We need to have a true perspective on the material things. I wonder if the Lord is telling us this morning that everything material is temporary. Maybe we need to ask God to help us to look at life through the lens of eternity and the reality of things as he sees them. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. On Thursday I was doing the Scripture Union Daily Notes, and there was a lovely section in there which was a wee bit complicated. That's why I didn't bring it with me, but it was basically saying that the people of Israel were going through the desert and they really got fed up with the meat that God was giving them. And they were saying, the meat down in Egypt was much better. And the writer was making the point that the reason that they were complaining about the issues at that time was they failed to see and remember that the freedom that they had and where they were going. Actually, they were only focusing on the things of now rather than on what God had given them and what God had promised. And I think that's the point that's being made here. We need to have a true perspective on the value of material things. Believe that God knows what we need. In Matthew 6, when Jesus said, "Don't worry," saying, "What shall you eat? What shall you drink? What shall you wear?" And I think there is a challenge to us in terms of being people of faith, as to what that means in practical reality on a day by day in terms of how we respond to this issue of greed, whether that's in finance or popularity or time or whatever. So how do we survive greed? Well, we survive it by recognising it. We survive it by having a true perspective on material things. And I think as we come together as community, we can help each other to survive it, you know, by being accountable in this whole area. One of the skills of surviving in our society is the ability to know when enough is enough. But where do we get that ability, and how do we get the wherewithal to say no? Perhaps we should think of church as a school, a place where we can learn. Perhaps we should think of church as a harbour, an oasis, a place where we can get away from the world's messages and actually just have time to think. I have really appreciated the past two Sundays towards the end of the service, first one of the times when Laura led and then last Sunday, where we actually had 10 minutes to think. I think that's a key issue. We are so busy that we just get pushed along and we never stop to reflect. And I think church can give us that opportunity. Or being with others out of the culture that we're in to gain a correct perspective and perhaps even be able to critique the culture that is around us. We need to understand how to want the right things in the right way with the right proportions. But the danger is that church can just be another place where needs are met, rather than a place where we can see things from God's perspective as an ante to all the things that are constantly pounding our senses. The church community, we can hold each other accountable and we can see it as a place to reflect and recharge and be in the place, in the workplace, and in society and culture, engaging with it in a proper way. But I think there are one or two other ways in which we can survive greed. I think our growth as Christians is an area that perhaps we need to be challenged about. In this whole area of greed, what we need is something more difficult to get than a Porsche. We need to get character. A character which is able to look at the world and at key moments say, yes, we could afford it, but we're not going to buy it because we don't actually need it. I think that's actually about Christian discipline sometimes. It's become morally heroic to be the sort of person who could say, no thanks, I've already got more than I need. When we were praying before the service, Dan prayed about God, that we might be God's children in the truest sense. A God who didn't hold on to his son, but who opened his hands and gave his son to us. The Bible in 1 John 3:1 says, God who has lavished his love upon us. And we need to be the kind of people who, through our Christian disciplines, identify where need stops and want begins, and be able to be those who are generous. And that's my second last point. Generosity. If there are two counter things to greed, one is generosity and the other is gratitude, thankfulness. I really believe that a major theological justification for giving, I think God actually gave giving as a remedy for greed. Giving away at least 10% of my income is actually a grace from God. That 10% is a sign of our freedom. It's as good for us as it is for the person that we're giving to. Why? Because it teaches us a sense of proportion and it forces us to consider other people. As I've already said, greed is not only about grasping, but greed is about gripping, holding on to what we could give away. Last week, Stewie was encouraging us to bless others. The miser does not have the mentality of blessing other people. And I really believe that if we give, we will be blessed. We faced an issue at Christmas time where, as a family, we were inviting somebody to come and join us for Christmas. We had a family discussion about it, and we chose to do that. That's one of the most fun Christmases we've ever had as a family. By giving, actually, we probably receive more. And I think generosity is a wonderful antidote to greed. And then finally, gratitude. Remember, Jesus healed 10 lepers? Only one of the 10 came back to say thanks. That's another 10%. 10% to give away, 10% to say thanks. So if 10% of us stood up, that would be the kind of proportion that generally gave thanks for or showed gratitude to what Jesus had done. The person who is content and thankful will be less likely to be overcome by greed. Greed is saying that I am a person dissatisfied with my lot. Is that right? Greed is actually somebody saying, I'm not happy with what I have. Philippians 4, Paul said, I have learned the secret of being content in any and in every situation. How many of us can put our hands up to that? I'm not sure I can, actually. And so, surviving greed is recognizing it, is having a true perspective on material things, of being community together and holding each other accountable, and we need to think about what that actually meant, through being generous and seeing that as a gift from God. That giving is not taking part of our income and limiting in what we can do with it. It's actually for our own benefit. And the whole concept of gratitude, being thankful for what we have and working with that and trusting that God will provide for us. I'd like us, just as we've come to the end, to just reflect for a moment as Dan comes to lead us in a couple of final songs. There's an old Brethren hymn that we used to sing. I used to sing as a boy. And I can't remember the whole song, but one line of it was this: Jesus, thou art enough, the mind and heart to fill. That's not a bad motto, is it? Jesus, thou art enough, the mind and heart to fill. And two Sundays ago, when Laura was leading, the final song that she, or the first song she gave us after Stuart spoke, or whoever, I think it was Stuart, there was a line in there that really struck me. As we go through all of these sins, we don't really need to be weighed down. There is hope. And the line that gave me hope was the line in one of the songs that said, it was my sin that held him there until it was accomplished. That's fantastic. So in all of these issues, there's hope. Jesus can make a difference. The cross can be that which releases us. But actually, we need to come and lay the issues down and engage with them and just ask the Lord to touch our lives and help us to begin to work through the issues that have been a challenge for us. Sorry that's been a wee bit rushed, but I do trust that it's helped us just to maybe think a wee bit more about the issue of greed and be confident that we can survive it and that together, as a community of God's people, we can support each other in this whole issue.